Hello everybody, and we'll now consider what you might be able to see in the night sky this month of October. Just before I start, I think a bit of interesting news. A sunspot has been seen on the sun. We've been in a transitional region or period between the last solar cycle and the next one. These are typically about 11 years long, during which the solar activity and hence the number of sunspots rises fairly quickly over a period of about 4 years and then falls more slowly to the end of that cycle. In fact, the period between the last cycle and this is around 350 days, and that's somewhat longer than the typical, which is about 250 days. And so it's perhaps slightly encouraging that a sunspot's been seen. Not a very obvious one, actually. It's most obvious in some of the things like the magnetograms rather than the visible images of the sun. But it is there, and that could herald the start of the next solar cycle, in which case the maximum will probably occur in about 2012 and then tailing off after that. Also interesting, there's a spacecraft called Ulysses that's actually monitoring the solar wind, which is another measure of solar activity. And that's now at its lowest for the last 50 years. So the sun's been a bit quiet. And if it stayed quiet, as it has done in the past, that could have a significant effect on what is now called climate change or global warming. It might counteract some of the effects of the CO2 we're putting into the atmosphere. So what I'm saying is just keep an eye. You can put SOHO spacecraft into Google and see the latest pictures. And let's see in the next few months if the number of sunspots increases. Okay, well, the nights are drawing in, and not only can you see the sky after sunset in relatively early evening now, but also it's still dark, at least when I get up. And this morning I had a wonderful view of Leo and Orion in the south, and in fact rising in the east was a lovely thin crescent moon, a waning crescent moon. So there are some nice things to see in the morning sky, as we'll see later on. Setting towards the west as nightfall begins is a very nice area of sky, Cygnus, Lyra, and Aquila the Eagle. I've talked about these quite considerably over the summer. Those, the three brightest stars, Deneb, Vega, and Altair, form what's called the summer triangle, but we can still see it, in fact, in October. And if you want to learn more about that area of the sky, just go back to some of the earlier podcasts this year, and you can just pick up the part where I talk about them. Over towards the south in the mid-evening, we have, fairly high in the south, the square of Pegasus, which is an upside-down winged horse. Up to its left is Andromeda. In fact, the top left star of the square of Pegasus is actually called Alpha Andromedae, so it's part of the Andromeda constellation, and in there lies the galaxy M31, and I'll mention that a bit later in the highlights of the month. Up to the left of that is the constellation Perseus, and it, to its upper right is the constellation Cassiopeia. If you look with binoculars between Cassiopeia and Perseus, you should find a rather fuzzy, bright area of sky. It looks lovely in powerful binoculars. It's called the double cluster, and there are two close open clusters. You can see it with your unaided eye, but binoculars will show it very well. It's a lovely, very rich region of the Milky Way. Below the square of Pegasus is Pisces, and we also have Cetus over to the lower left, and I'm going to come back to Cetus again in the highlights. So quite interesting constellations to look at, and as the night goes by, if you're prepared to get up early in the morning, you actually get round to the constellations of Orion and Taurus, and if you pick up a Jodcast, probably something like January, February, if they're still there, you can learn about those constellations as well. So let's move on to the planets this month. Jupiter is still seen low in the southwest as nightfall begins, but its elevation won't be more than about 10 degrees, so you are looking at it through a lot of atmosphere, and that really doesn't help the images we see with our telescopes. But you could still quite easily see the Galilean satellites as they weave their way around it. It starts October at an angular size of 39.3 arc seconds, which slowly reduces, and its magnitude is about -2.3. So it is certainly the brightest object low in the sky in the southwest. The next planet, Saturn. Well, that is now visible in the pre-dawn sky and is seen higher in elevation before dawn as the month progresses. Actually, it's going to be best seen at the very end of the month. So if you look out at about 0500 UT, it reaches an elevation of 25 degrees. Its magnitude is plus one, which is not as much as it normally is. And that's because if you look at it, you might even say, is that really Saturn? Because the rings are becoming closer and closer aligned to the plane of the Earth, which means that we see them at a shallower and shallower angle. And next year, they'll actually be totally edge-on. They'll be invisible for a while. So you don't see the rings very extensively, and that, of course, means that they're not reflecting any light back to us, and so Saturn appears much less bright than it normally does. You will quite easily, with binoculars even, pick out its satellite Titan, and with a telescope of a few inches diameter aperture, you can pick out a few more. So that's going to come up in the highlight again later on. Mercury passes between us and the Sun on the 6th of October, so there's actually no chance of seeing it in the early part of the month. But actually, it reappears quite soon in the pre-dawn sky, and it reaches what is called western elongation. That's when it's furthest an angle from the Sun on the 22nd of the month. Now, in complete contrast to the last time it was visible low in the west after sunset, this time it's much higher in elevation and a much, much better chance of seeing. In fact, it's the best chance this year of seeing Mercury in the pre-dawn sky. So it might well be worth having a look for that. That comes up in a highlight. Mars is now so close to the Sun, you can't see it at all during the month. So we have to ignore Mars. Venus has been around for a while. It's seen, unfortunately, very low in the west after sunset, shining at a magnitude of about 3.8. It's gradually moving in angle away from the Sun, so it remains in the sky for longer after the Sun has set. But nevertheless, it's not as appearing as bright and as obvious to us as it often does, because it doesn't really rise very much in elevation. The angular size is about 12.2 arc seconds. What happens is that is gradually increasing, but the area of Venus that's being illuminated is reducing. Those two effects cancel out pretty well, so the brightness stays at about -4 for several months at a time, so that's quite interesting. Well, you can find more about planetary images and detail if you happen to want to go onto our night sky webpage on the Jodrell Bank website, and you can actually find links to information about the planets. Well, finally, let's have a look at some highlights, but then there's actually one extra part of the section this month, and hopefully in continuing months, as we'll see. I mentioned that Saturn will be seen better later in the month, as will Mercury. And around October the 26th, they're both fairly high in the sky. On the 26th, they're joined by a waning crescent moon. In fact, the night before, the moon will be up to the right of Saturn. On the 26th, in the very early morning, is going to lie between Saturn and Mercury. So that should be a very nice skyscape in the morning, about 90 minutes before dawn. One thing that you may never have tried to observe is one of the minor planets or asteroids. Now, they may now be called small solar system bodies, but nevertheless, I prefer the word minor planet. Though not the largest, Vesta is in fact the brightest, and at magnitude 6.5, it's fairly easy to see in a pair of binoculars if you know where to look. And during this month, it actually passes across the head of Cetus the whale. And on the night sky page on the Jodrell Bank website, I've given you both a chart to show you where to look for it, but also a template which would allow you, if you print it out, to plot the positions of the brighter objects within the head, and if you do that on a couple of nights, you should see, separated by a few days, you should see that one of these objects has moved, and that means you really have seen the minor planet Vesta. Last year, in fact, it was a bit closer what's called opposition when it's nearest to us, and it was just visible to the unaided eye. But this year I think you'll need binoculars. But that's a well worth thing to look for. Last month I pointed out that you could fairly easily find the Andromeda Galaxy, and I gave a chart which is repeated on this month's Night Sky page that shows how you can find it, either starting from Alpha Andromedae, which is the top left-hand star of the square of Pegasus. You work round two stars, turn sharp right, and go up another two stars, and there it is. Or you can just follow down the V on the right-hand side of Cassiopeia. With binoculars, you'll certainly see an oval, fuzzy region, which actually is the core of Andromeda. But on a very dark night, you may well see a very pale, bright surrounding region, which are the outer spiral arms. And from a very dark site in Wales on the last Sunday night before I'm speaking to you, there was a fantastic view with a pair of 15 by 50 binoculars. It can look really quite impressive, but the sky has to be very, very dark and no moon. So it's a worthwhile thing to look at if you haven't seen it before. Around October 21st, there's actually the Orionid meteor shower. It's not one of the most spectacular. There are only about 20 or so meteors seen per hour. But they're interesting because it's believed that the meteors originate from Comet Halley. The problem this year is that very close to what's called the radiant, where the meteors appear to diverge from, is in fact a fairly bright gibbous moon. So you would only really have a chance of seeing the brighter meteors. So I tell you it's there, it might be worth a try, but it's not going to be the best year to look for them. There's another object that many of you may not observe, and that's the planet Uranus, which has a magnitude of about 5.8. So really you need binoculars for it. Again, I've actually put a chart on the website. It's very close to the star Phi Aquarii, and if you look basically in the mid part of the evening, Aquarius is reasonably high in the sky, just to the east of south, and you should have a chance to find it. With a telescope, you actually see a little blue-green disk just 4 arc seconds across, and it's rather nice to see it. So there we go. I hope you'll have a good time observing the sky. We've had quite a few clear nights recently. Let's hope they remain. But before I finish, we've had quite a number of requests from people who live in the southern hemisphere. Could we say something about what they can see? So here's a very quick summary. Jupiter is low in the west, just above the heart of the Milky Way. That's the constellation of Sagittarius, and the rather nice little teapot that you can see there with lots of very beautiful objects. Sadly, in the northern hemisphere, they're so low on the horizon where we live in England, we don't see them very well, but you see them much better in the southern hemisphere. Fairly high in the south, coming up towards almost overhead, are the large and small Magellanic clouds, which are two nearby irregular galaxies that most people think are orbiting our own Milky Way galaxy. I read recently that some people aren't quite so sure about that. They might just be passing by. Nevertheless, you see them as little sort of milky clouds in the sky. Now, if you look just to the right of the small Magellanic cloud, that's the less bright one, you should see, certainly with binoculars, a little misty blob. And that's 47 Tucani, which is one of the two most spectacular globular clusters that one can see in the southern hemisphere, and well worth having a look. The other's in Omega Centauri, but not really so visible at the present time. Andromeda is low in the north, to the lower right of the square of Pegasus. Now, in the north, we see the square of Pegasus upside down, but you see it the right way up. So it's worthwhile picking out Andromeda, and the chart that I have, if you just sort of rotate it round through 180 degrees, should help you find it. Finally, Vesta, I mentioned, which is crossing through the heart of Cetus the Whale, is also visible up and to the left of Pegasus. So again, given the chart on the Night Sky page, you could actually find that by turning things upside down. I hope that I've got that all right, because it's actually quite difficult for us to try and get a feel of what you would see in the other hemisphere. Everything goes the wrong way, if not just upside down as well. So I hope I've got that right. I'll try and pick out at least one or two things that you can look for each month in the coming months. Good hunting.